We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos.
Everybody.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos. The Beer Amigos.
Greetings, this is Joe Churchy with Starfish Junction Productions, and I wanted to talk to everyone about something that affects us all here on Long Island. Long Island Craft Beer Week. Starting May 11th through the 20th, the second annual Long Island Craft Beer Week will be taking place. Long Island Craft Beer Week celebrates the craft beer culture here on Long Island, and here are a few of the great events that we have lined up. The week kicks off on Friday, May 11th at Tap and Barrel with the Long Island Craft Beer Week kickoff party with Blue Point Brewing Company. Saturday, May 12th is shaping up to be quite a day. Wake up early and head down to the Cortland to have breakfast with the Beer Amigos. Your two favorite sombrero-wearing podcasting friends will be holding court at the Cortland with special breakfast burritos from Bubba's Burrito Bar in Islip. When that's over, guess what? There will be a cask ale festival within walking distance at TJ Finley's. TJ Finley's is having their cask ale festival featuring 10 cask ales, so mosey on over and spend a day in Bayshore. On Monday, May 14th, the second annual Simulcask, that's right, I said Simulcask, will be taking place across Long Island. The Long Ireland Beer Company and Blind Bat Brewery will be tapping a special collaboration beer at four select locations throughout Nassau and Suffolk County. The Black Sheep Ale House in Mineola, the Cortland in Bayshore, and Tap and Barrel will be amongst the participants. Come down and see what debauchery takes place. There will be video taken at each tapping and remixed into a montage. Montage! On May 15th is the Golden Tap Awards Gala taking place at the Bolton Center in Bayshore. We will be honoring Long Island's beer innovators and pioneers. The first of its kind award show and the only one of its type. These awards are for the people, by the people. Some of the categories you can vote on are Best Beer Bar on Long Island, Beer of the Year, and Best New Beer of 2011. Voting is currently open until May 7th to the public now at goldentap.com. That's golden-tap.com. Every vote counts, and you will be the only one to blame if your favorites do not win. At the Golden Tap Awards Gala, we will be honoring Steve Hindy, co-founder and president of Brooklyn Brewery, with the Lifetime Achievement Award. Brooklyn Brewery is approaching their 25th anniversary and continues to be a force in the craft beer industry. Tickets are available to the general public through the Bolton Center box office. Our host this year is a familiar face to the Long Island craft beer scene, Tim Saliani. If you would like more information on any of these events or other festivities taking place during the week, please go to longislandcraftbeerweek.com. And let's be honest, who doesn't like festivities? The second annual Long Island Craft Beer Week promises to create some great memories that we will always try to remember. Thank you for your time.
On this episode of the Beer Amigos, we head to the 8th annual Blue Point Cask Ales Festival. We talk about the upcoming Long Island Craft Beer Week and our Breakfast with the Beer Amigos event on Saturday, May 12th at 10 a.m. at the Cortland. We check in with Matt and Lori Spitz from Mustache Brewing. We drink beers and sing a song for Great South Bay Brewery and much, much more.
Hey, this is Travis.
And this is Mike.
And we are the Beer Amigos! Episode 9!
Nine.
I'm feeling fine.
It's so fun.
Oh, yeah. So we are back. It's been a few weeks. We've been doing a lot. beer related.
Like drinking beer?
Drinking beer. I've gone on some trips. Mike is about to go on a trip.
Yeah, man.
Trips are great. It's perfect trip season.
And Mike told me his trip is going to consist of getting a $15 massage and learning how to cook beef jerky.
Yeah, I'm gonna learn the craft of making beef jerky so I can bring back that skill set and share it with the local community.
Most people do go on vacations to learn how to make beef jerky, so.
Naturally.
You're one in a million, Mike. One in a million.
Hey, man. You know, we gotta learn something new every day. That's what my mom told me when I was little.
Gotta learn. That's nice that you're taking, you know, what you learned in your youth and you're taking it with you through as you mature.
It's great wisdom.
Yeah. Wisdom has been bestowed upon Michael Howland.
She used to make me call her Obi Mom. I was like, what's up with that?
Obi Mom?
Yeah, because she has all the wisdom. All right. Anyway, tell everyone about your trip.
My trip. I always feel like I'm going on trips, and that's a good thing, I guess.
Apparently you get too much time off at work.
Yeah.
We only Travis's job, apparently.
If anyone from my job is listening, I work hard day in and day out.
They're like, why does Travis always bang out sick on Fridays and subsequently on Monday?
Well, this time I left on a Thursday.
Oh, naturally, because you figured you get a head start, call out on Friday from your destination.
Yeah.
And go from there.
So on April 5th, my wife, Melissa, and I, we packed our bags and we headed to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which is the home of Dogfish Head Craft Brewed Ales' Brewpub. But our first stop on the trip was actually in Milton, Delaware, which is where Dogfish Head's brewery is located. And as most people know, Dogfish Head was founded by Sam Calagione in 1995, and I think they produce around 75,000 barrels of beer a year.
And increasing
at a significant rate. I had visited both the brewery and the brew pub before, but it was, I was just as excited to, you know, visit this time around. You gotta go, Mike.
I definitely do have to go.
Gotta head out there, so.
This was a romantic escape, though.
Exactly, and there was no room for Mr. Michael Howland. When we arrived, we first went on the guided tour, which included sights and explanations of the brew house, cellars, and the bottling line, and being a full-time Dogfish Head beer geek, most of the information that they shared to me was already known. It was old news to your boy Travi, but it's always nice to go, you know, behind the scenes at a brewery which brews on such a large scale. After the tour and drinking the beer samples, which followed the tour, we got back in the car and we drove to sunny Rehoboth Beach. We stayed at the Crosswinds Motel, which was literally a 20-second walk from Dogfish Head's brew pub.
What was your room number?
I think it was 309.
309. Yeah, that's a good number.
Having a 20-second walk to Dogfish Head's brew pub is it's quite magical.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate when you're at work and, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm on my break. Let me check my Facebook feed. Oh, there's Travis and his wife literally like a foot away from where I'd like to be.
But I did bring you home beer.
You did.
And Dogfish Head's beer is significantly cheaper at their brewery and brew pub and in the state of Delaware. And there's no sales tax.
Is that truth or myth?
It's truth. We're talking about, is this like an episode of Mythbusters?
Plausible.
Plausible. So yeah, so we spent April 5th.
I just had a visual of Matt Spitz from the Mustache Brewing Company when I said plausible.
He should be on that show. He'd be
sure he's heard that a million times.
He'd be a staple part of the news. Show Mythbusters.
He auditioned, but his mustache was far too great compared to theirs.
So we stayed through the 8th, but on the 5th, 6th, and 7th, we spent many hours drinking and eating at the brew pub, as expected. Their food is top-notch, and their beer is extremely top-notch. I think it might sound a bit dull, but my favorite pint of beer that I had that entire weekend was their 60-minute IPA. Their 60-minute is their, you know, it's their sessionable IPA, which is continually hopped with more than 60 hop additions over a 60-minute boil. Super powerful but balanced East Coast IPA with lots of citrusy hop characters. Besides it being a great beer, I think the main reason I enjoyed it so much is because I got to the brew pub and realized I had not had that beer in at least a year, year and a half. It was one of the first Dogfish Head beers I had years ago, but I have not revisited it recently. And I can tell you there's nothing better than a completely fresh draft of 60-minute IPA from where it's actually brewed. It was great.
That's nice.
It was so good.
when it meets, you know, it lives up to your previous expectations, because there's always that possibility of like
exactly
coming back to it and being like, this is kind of mediocre.
And I feel like, again, I feel like that's so dull to say. I think my favorite pint of beer was their 16-minute IPA, because I had their Burton Baton, I had their Hellhound, I had their Namaste, I had Brewpub exclusive beers. The list goes on and on, but just having that fresh 16-minute IPA on tap that I hadn't had in so long, it just really stuck out of my mind.
But I think that says a lot for a brewery like that, that, you know, is so, like, extreme in making, you know, off-centered ales.
Yeah, for off-centered people.
But where you can enjoy, you know, something as simple as their IPA and really appreciate
that. And their most tame of their IPAs, especially.
I mean, that says a lot in regards to them, you know, almost, it's almost like, from a culinary standpoint, being able to hold back, like, show some restraint, instead of just, you know, going for the kill and overpowering stuff. Because, you know, I mean, I feel like the issue a lot of times is, you know, people try to overdo it and add too many ingredients. Mm-hmm. And then you almost lose some of that luster. Instead of just mastering, you know, the art and craft of minimalism, for a you know, in a sense. So, is there any, like, Brewpub exclusives that you remembered having that you enjoyed?
Yeah, I had two of the Brewpub exclusive beers. I had their Big Ez Triple, which is a Belgian triple, full of tropical fruit flavors. It's fully organic.
How was that?
It was okay. It wasn't one of my favorites. Again, I know their Brewpub exclusive beers are strictly to test new recipes, which I think is obviously extremely smart. You know, rather than saying, I think this is going to work, let's bottle it, let's put all this money behind it, let's distribute it, they try it at the Brewpub.
I'm intrigued by the idea of it, though.
Yeah, it's, yes, the idea of it was very good, and I was actually attracted to the fact that it was all organic ingredients. That's not something you always read in, in respect to beers.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was just way too overly sweet.
But I feel like, you know, when you see breweries like the Founders, you know, Founders with the success they've had with Blushing Monk,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a sweeter, you know, sweeter Belgian, and
right.
You can't help but be inspired to be like, all right, you know, like, let's do something like that, but, you know, make it super exotic instead of just using, like, raspberries.
Yeah, I definitely think the idea behind it was perfect. It just, you know, maybe it's something they're going to tweak a little bit, you know, in the future. A buddy of mine.
But who better than to give you feedback than the people that are going to ultimately
exactly,
buy it?
Exactly. And a buddy of me and my wife's was actually there, and he had it, and he enjoyed it more than me.
You invited someone else with you on your trip?
Mike, he actually lives in Delaware.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
What I did have, which I enjoyed, was their Brewpub exclusive beer called Mahatma. Their description is, curry and golden raisins add sweet spice to this malty Indian food-inspired brew. Enjoy the citrus finish as it complements the malt spice notes.
That, like, that description right there is totally, like, the traditional Dogfish Head wheelhouse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, take this simple beer where we threw all this curry flavoring into it. But it was, I loved it. I wouldn't say it's a beer I would want to go, you know, grab a six pack of and, you know, have it scattered, you know, throughout a few weeks period of time. But it was balanced. It was balanced so well, and it was so easy to drink. And that curry flavoring it didn't overpower the beer. It was just, you know, it was one of those simple, sessionable beers that was just, you know, slightly different than the norm, to the point where it made it just gave you enough excitement to, you know, just really want to finish and enjoy it for what it is.
Nice.
I did enjoy it. And those were the two Brewpub exclusive beers out of their four available ones that I did have.
That's awesome. I know that in visiting the Dogfish site, Sam's really great at discussing, you know, the thought processes behind making beers and pairing it with food. And I think that's a really great, you know, mentality and kind of like viewpoint in crafting your beers, is thinking about like what it's best with. And he's amazing at, you know, elaborating on that in these brief videos on their website. Yeah. So if you haven't been to their website,
I think they're called Quick Sips.
Yeah.
Quick
just Sips, check it out. I mean, it's like, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minute clips, but, just, he's so inspired by everything he makes, and it's really like infectious and definitely makes you want to try their beers. So
yeah. And I agree, especially because it seems a lot of the beer community wants beer to be respected as much as wine is. And the wine community, I think a big part of what they do is mentioning why their wine is good with specific foods. So I think it's definitely smart for beer brewing companies, to do the same, to say why their product is good with food. I mean, everyone eats food every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to pinpoint why their specific product could go with what you're eating on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you have the opportunity to enhance what you're having, exactly, even more so, why would you not?
Exactly.
That's just a silly question.
Well, again, we've been busy going to fun events along the Long Island.
Yeah, this
island, which is long.
This Long Island that we're from.
So, Mike, where did we go to on April 14th?
We went to the 8th Annual Blue Point Cask Ales Festival that took place at the Blue Point Brewery in Patchogue, New York. This is one of my favorite, like, you know, festivals. It's relatively small scale. It goes down right behind the brewery, and it's just everyone's just in a jovial mood and just pumped for the day.
Exactly.
So
I think it's also because, in addition to it being great beers, I think the point that now it's in the spring and it's outdoors, and thankfully it's such warm weather, it's a combination of I'm so excited that I'm with great people, having great beer in a great area, but I'm also like realizing winter's behind us, the warm weather's coming, I'm feeling good. I think for me, it's like the start of summer, the Blue Point Cask Ales Festival.
Because you know the odds of having a snowstorm are slim to none
after
that.
Exactly. Just there's so much to look forward to.
Agreed. So what in particular did you really enjoy about that day?
Well, what I'm realizing is...
Not even beer-wise, just in
general.
Not
even beer-wise.
I mean, obviously, you could elaborate on any beers, yeah. But I know that we do have some interviews coming up,
yeah,
which we do discuss a few beers, so...
I think what excites me just as much as trying new beers is just, you know, meeting with your friends, you know, having another opportunity to enjoy each other's company and goof around and talk and hang out over, you know, delicious beers. To me, it's the community which surrounds the Long Island craft beer scene, which I think actually, which definitely, you know, means more to me than the delicious beer itself.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity too for, like, you know, kind of reiterating what we were saying earlier about Dogfish Head. Is that it really gives our local breweries a chance to kind of make these unique beers or, you know, do a variation of their traditional style beers where, you know, these attendees get to taste the freshest beer they've probably ever had or may not be acclimated to because, you know, cask-conditioned beer, although it's becoming much more popular, being served in pubs and a lot of places doing firkins, still not something you're seeing, you know, every place you go. So.
Right.
That's a great opportunity to really expand people's palates and just have fun with brewing, which is really probably one of our favorite parts about it.
Oh, hands down. And we had an opportunity to speak with a few people at the Cask Ales Festival, and we're going to play that footage for you right now.
We are behind the Blue Point Brewery for this 8th annual Cask Ales Festival with Paul from the Blind Bat Brewery, located in Centerport, Long Island. That's in New York, folks. Paul, what did you bring today to pour for the attendees of this event?
Today, we brought Corey's with me today. We brought the Hellsmoke Porter and the Belfie Brown.
Nice. Can you tell us a little about each of those beers, if you don't mind?
Yes, sir. The Hellsmoke Porter, we smoke some of the barley over a combination of apple and alderwood at the brewery before we brew with it. And otherwise, it's a robust porter at 5.7% ABV. The Belfie Brown is a... I don't know what kind of brown it is. It's not an English brown. It's not really an American brown because it's not particularly hoppy. It uses 7 different malts, and we add grade B Vermont maple syrup to the fermenter after primary fermentation is done, and we drop off some of the yeast. So we're not trying to get more alcohol out of that. It actually kind of settles in and mellows and sits in the fermenter for a while into like a more of like a caramely kind of background note.
Let me tell you what kind of brown it is. It's a delicious brown ale. I was fortunate enough to have it at the Rocky Point Artisan Brewers Nano Cask Fest, and it was one of my favorite beers there. In addition to that, it will be getting my vote for the 2011 New Beer Golden Tap Award. Paul, I know that one of your beers was recently featured on the Martha Stewart Show, the Hellsmoke Porter. That's got to be kind of cool. Just, you know, tell us a little bit about that experience. And how that came
It was fun since Martha wouldn't go near it. She apparently was afraid of it because it was dark and smoky. Very, very fortunate. Sam Calagione, Dogfish Head, if no one knows who that is, which you're probably maybe 3 people who don't know who he is. Very generous guy in the beer world. Very big about promoting all of craft beer, not just his own brand. And he sent me an email along with a couple of other breweries, FX Matt upstate and Firestone Walker out in California, said, hey dudes, I'm going to be on Martha Stewart. I want to bring some beer. Can you get some beer to the studio? So I said, expletive yes. And so I drove in the beer, and there it was on TV, as seen on TV, Hellsmoke Porter. But when they got to it, You can see it online. It's fun because Martha's drinking a little bit of each one. Then she starts talking about Schaefer and Pabst Blue Ribbon for some reason while Sam's trying to talk about craft beer. And then she says, well, I like this one. Oh, this one's nice. Oh, no, I'm getting tipsy. And as soon as he poured the Hellsmoke Porter, she goes, oh, no, no, I don't like that. So, but she gave it to her camera guy or a producer or somebody off camera. He seemed to like it.
Regardless, great, you know, great fact that you were recognized on, you know, a nationally televised show. I think it's awesome.
My 15 minutes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's awesome. No, I don't think that's accurate. I think there's great things coming from you in the near future. I know that there's a lot going on with the Blind Bat Brewery. Today itself, this event is very reminiscent of that, with Blue Point being one of the bigger local breweries, hosting the smaller breweries and other Long Island beers in general. Mm-hmm. And it's really a great opportunity to explore new beers and essentially test them on people that are open-minded to craft beers in general. So, Paul, we look forward to having your beer a little later, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Buenos dias.
Thank you.
All right.
Mike and I are here with Steve from Barrage Brewing at the 8th Annual Blue Point Cask Ales Festival. Steve, can you tell us a little bit about the beer that you're pouring today?
Sure, guys. We're pouring a One Ride Monkey, which is our rye IPA, One Ride, plan words, One-Eyed Monkey. It's a rye ale, close to a German Roggen beer. It's 4.8% alcohol, a little bit of caraway seed in it, Amarillo hops, nice session beer. I think you guys already tried it. What are you thinking on this?
I was going to say, it's probably not a surprise that Mike and I already enjoyed the One Ride Monkey.
I usually hit the Barrage Brewery first, and I really enjoyed this actually a lot. It's like perfect beer for today.
Yeah, it's kind of like a tradition for Mike and I. We go to...
We visit Steve first.
hit Barrage first, and then go to the others.
But then we come back, though, because, you know...
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we know that you did disclose to us that you recently signed a contract for a building for your brewery.
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about that process and where you're going to be, please.
Right now, we're just moving everything over to 32 Allen Boulevard in Farmingdale. Farmingdale.
Next stop, Farmingdale.
I like that. It almost sounds like being on a railroad. And the next stop is Farmingdale. Yeah, we're right off of 110. Actually, right by the White Castle, so anybody wants to drink beers and...
Has the Crave,
could go over to White Castle.
Or the Republic.
Or the Republic, which is right down the road, which I'm digging really, really, really a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, we're going to be, we're hoping SLA approved by the end of this year. All our equipment's going to be moving in real soon. We're actually doing floor work, getting all the drains in, sealing the floor. It's a two-barrel system right now. But we're hoping within a couple of years we'll be up to 5-barrel. What else is there to talk about besides the Beer Amigos and how handsome these young men are?
Yeah, appreciate that.
And how much we enjoy Barrage's beer.
Everything from that we've had from Barrage is amazing, and really like genuinely ecstatic for this to happen for you, like this next stage of the process, because I feel like you bring a lot to the table as a brewer, and as you know, like I feel like. You know, you have like a great take on beer, and you're amazing at setting a benchmark on new styles of beer. And I feel like as you have that momentum carrying into opening, I don't see anything but amazing things happening for you. And I'm super pumped about it because we just love talking to you in general.
Yes.
And we love
yes.
your beer. So
yeah, we as I told Steve before, on the way to this festival, Mike and I actually were talking about how excited we were to try whatever Steve was offering today.
I appreciate that, guys. You are. I have to say, I love the Beer Amigos, and I think everyone should listen to their podcast, because whether Barrage is in it or not, it's excellent. These guys not only talk about great beers, but also, it's just, you know, if you want to take a little bit of time out of your life to enjoy life, you have to listen to the Beer Amigos.
And we rap sometimes.
You know what? And if you haven't seen the video, the best part of the whole video is when Mike spins his sombrero... And Travis makes it rain.
Oh, yeah, it makes it rain, baby.
Also, just to let everyone know, we are going to be making up new T-shirts for Barrage Brewing. And on the back, it's going to say, Barrage Brewing, the beer that does you dirty, a.k.a. the Beer Amigos.
Amazing. Well, obviously, this is the spot to stay tuned in to find out more about Barrage in the future. And we look forward to sharing, you know, the latest and greatest with you. Thanks again, Steve.
Guys, thank you so much. And... enjoy the beer, enjoy the festival, and huzzah!
Oh, thanks, Steve.
We're here with Tim from the Empire Brewing Company at the Blue Point 8th Annual Cask Ales Festival. Tim, would you kind of tell us what, what you're pouring today?
Today we're pouring our Live and Let Rye. It's a rye IPA that is dry hopped with New York State grown hops, Magnum hops.
When you announce that beer, though, don't you want it to just be like, Live and Let Rye? Yeah,
and that's where the name came from. People say, where'd you get the name?
We were
stuck in traffic on the Brooklyn Bridge. We were going from the Southeast Seaport to Brooklyn, and we were trying to think of a name for our beer, our new rye IPA that we're releasing. And so we're stuck in traffic, and you know everybody's got like a kind of a catchy name for their rye IPAs. You know, there's Ruthless, there's Rye the Tiger, there's Rastafari. So we're like, we got a catchy name, whatever. You know, we're trying to think about it. And then the song came on, and it was me and my assistant Olivia and the owner of the company David. We're all in the car, and we all looked at each other, and David looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said, Live and Let Rye. And I'm like, let's roll with it, man.
Did he sing it to you, though?
Yeah. He said, Live and Let Rye, bam.
And you were like, bam. Yeah, Live and Let Rye.
Now, but I got to ask, was the Wings or Guns N' Roses?
Say again?
Wings or Guns N' Roses?
Well, you know, my personal favorite of that tune, I hate to say it, is the Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses all the way.
Yeah.
Me too, Gene Harp.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Wings is what it is, but I think Guns N' Roses made that song relevant, I guess.
And today's actually the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, and supposedly Axl Rose declined the invitation.
Yeah, he shunned it. He shunned everyone.
Axl Rose is a no-show, but...
And he said that he didn't want anyone to accept on his behalf either, which I don't know where he's going with that, but, you know, we're digressing into some rock and roll, which I'm cool with.
Yeah, well, I'm a big...
Rock and roll and beer go hand in hand.
I'm a big 80s metal guy, whether it be Thrash and Megadeth or be hair metal and Motley Crue.
Dude, I love Megadeth. I love Metallica is probably one of my favorite bands of all time. Yeah. And Guns N' Roses, I grew up on Guns N' Roses, and you know, I hate to say, you know, I really liked, back in the day when I was young, I liked Poison.
Dude,
I saw Poison last summer, man, at Jones Beach.
And Warren.
I love Cherry Pie, Dirty Rotten, Filthy, Stinkin' Rich.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I know 80s hair metal inside out. I listened to Skid Row, Slave to the Grind on the way here.
Dude, Sebastian Bach.
Dude.
On Broadway.
The man.
You know what I'm saying?
The man.
But yeah, Slave to the Grind. I don't think it was their best. I think their first album was their best. Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet Little Sister.
I saw them open for Bon Jovi in the Carrier Dome, Skid Row. And it was awesome.
I'm a little too young for that, unfortunately.
The endless smile. We are the youth God. Why?
18 in life.
Now, before we get back to beer, real quick, I got to ask you: do you like Steel Panther?
You know Steel Panther?
I don't.
Dude, the most bitchin' metal band to come out of the scene in years. They're actually a comedy band.
Steel Panther.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the side. We'll talk about that side. So we'll go back to beer right now.
So for our listeners, where can they come and check out the Empire Brewing Company?
Well, you know, we're with Manhattan Beer Distributors, and, you know, Long Island, I feel, is, I hate to use this pun, and it's not a pun, but it's an untapped market for us. It's hard to spend time here. We're a Syracuse-based company. We do a lot of beer in Manhattan and Brooklyn, so we're going to keep trying to work our way east and come out on the island. Right now, on Long Island, I don't know where you can find it. We do have a beer finder on our website where you punch in your zip code and it'll show you where all the recent places that have it on tap. So it's empirebrew.com. You go to beer finder, you punch in your zip code, and it'll show you where it's closest to you at that point.
And for our nomadic listeners that are willing to take the trip in, where are you? What's your address?
In Syracuse, we're 120 Walton Street. We're upstate, and everybody thinks, I've been coming down here for many years. Everybody thinks upstate is anything north of 44th Street. You know, it's like upstate to us is Syracuse, New York, Central New York. That's where we are. It's 120 Walton Street, Syracuse, New York, and it's a great little town. If you guys want to come up and check out the pub, you guys are welcome anytime. I'll give you the red carpet. Any of the listeners that want to come out, say you heard me on the podcast, I'll buy them their first beer when they get there.
Awesome, you heard it. Thanks for your interview, Tim. Definitely make it up there this summer. Make a trip out of it. And cheers.
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 Hey, it's Paul from Ghost Cat Brewing, and you're listening to the Beer Amigos.
As Mike mentioned, these beer festivals on Long Island are really good platforms for new brewing companies and, you know, older brewing companies to showcase new beer recipes for people who, you know, actually do want to taste the beer and judge the beer and give feedback on the beer. Two of our friends, Matt and Lori Spitz, started Mustache Brewing Company recently. Lori runs the Long Island chapter of Girls Pint Out, and both Lori and Matt are members of the Long Island Beer and Malt Enthusiasts. And Mike and I have had the pleasure of tasting their beers, both through Long Island Girls Pint Out and through Long Island Beer and Malt Enthusiasts. And we've been quite impressed, to say the least. What do you say, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I like their style.
Yeah, I like their style. So they're looking to take their beer and their brewing to the next level, and they started Mustache Brewing Company, which they hope to open sometime in the near future. Recently, they made it public that they started a Kickstarter account, which is a website that helps fans raise money for a particular purpose, this purpose being Mustache Brewing Company. So they're looking to raise money for their brewing company. So we had the opportunity to speak with Matt and Lori about, you know, where they are with Mustache Brewing Company, and here they are.
Hi, this is Lori Spitz.
And this is Matthew Spitz.
And we are Mustache Brewing Company.
Yes, we are.
Mustache Brewing Company is, we're a small microbrewery that's in the process of opening up on Long Island. We're going to be about a 15-barrel brew house, and we are going to make some awesome beers for the island.
That's the plan, anyway. Yeah, we're gonna have a bunch of year-round beers. We're gonna do a American Pale Ale and an IPA. We're also gonna do a porter, which is gonna be more of a session porter, more something that you can knock back all the time but still has a lot of roasty characters to it. And then also some kind of London style ESB, something kind of British, something different that a lot of people on the island may not be used to. And then we're gonna have some seasonal stuff, of course. Kind of keeping with that whole trend. And also we're going to have beers of the moment. So every other month or so, we're just going to come out with a new beer. And, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, some of the beers, for our beers of the moment are going to be, you know, inspired by the time of year, the season, holidays, whatever's going on at the moment. So that should be really fun. It's going to be constantly changing. You're only going to really be able to get them maybe once. Maybe we'll make them again. We don't know. We're also planning on doing some special lines that we're going to bottle. Imperial lines and some barrel-aged series also. So that'll be pretty neat. Basically, we just want to make beers, the kind of beers that we want to drink, which we believe is the beers that other people also want to drink, so that kind of works out very well. So one of the biggest hurdles to us opening our doors right now is financial. We need a little extra help to get us there. There's a lot of red tape for us to cut through in the initial phase, so in order for us to get licensed, we have to have our lease secured, and we got to be paying rent on our brewery building. And unfortunately,
and have a brew system in place.
Yes, and have the brew system in place. Unfortunately, though, while we're paying rent and waiting for our license, they do not allow us to make beer or sell beer, which is very unfortunate. So there's going to be approximately 6 months, possibly longer, of us paying rent and not making a dime. So to help us kind of get over that financial hurdle that's stopping us in the beginning, we've started a Kickstarter campaign. And our Kickstarter campaign, you can find it on our website. It's mustachebrewing.com. That's MOUSTACHE, mustache. Or you can just look us up on Facebook or Kickstarter. And basically, the way Kickstarter works, it's crowdsourcing. So all our friends, our family, strangers, Beer Amigos podcast listeners can go on and you can back us. It's just like the pledge drive on NPR or PBS. There's all different rewards you can choose. We have lots of cool things to choose from. T-shirts, you can brew with us, cool bottle openers, all kinds of fun stuff. So definitely check that out. You go on, you make your pledge, and then on our deadline, which is May 23rd, if we do not reach our goal of $25,000, which we are well on our way so far, you do not get charged. But when we do meet our goal on May 23rd, you will get a extremely happy email from us thanking you, and we will put your rewards in the mail shortly after that. And then hopefully in the coming months, we will be open and then you can come visit and drink our beer and try our beer and tour our brewery and hang out with us. Yeah.
No, the whole Kickstarter thing is really cool because, you know, it's, you really see the community aspect of being in a community on Long Island. We've gotten a lot of support. A lot of friends, you know, from the craft beer, from our scene, you know,
yeah,
and it's cool to kind of quantify that, you know, you can see it, you know, in dollars and cents, which is kind of weird, but it's cool. But yes, so check it out and help us out and spread it around too, because
that's been a huge help. Just having friends and family and strangers, you know, telling other people what we're doing. And we also have an awesome video on there. So,
yeah, video's really funny. It's good.
You can watch our awesome video. And honestly, if not, that's at least worth like a $10 donation right there.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good video.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Matthew Spitz.
And this is Lori Spitz.
And we're Mustache Brewing Company. And you're listening to the Beer Amigos.
And as always, we are back!
Back!
So what are we doing right now, Mike?
We're actually drinking a beer by the Great South Bay Brewery. As previously mentioned on the Beer Amigos, we are having the Marauder Bourbon Barrel Age Scotch Ale, homegrown on our Long Island in Bayshore, New York.
Bayshore, New York, baby.
Trev, what do you feel about this beer?
Ha! Don't even think about turning your back on Marauder, or you'll be sorry.
I express my love to Marauder. And the Great South Bay guys.
Yeah, Marauder's one of my favorite beers they make.
Yeah.
Remember when I initially was like, you know, when they were first like kind of rolling out, I was like, Trav, it's all about Marauder.
All about Marauder. I had it at TJ Finley's when Great South Bay celebrated their 1 year anniversary. They had that on tap along with every other beer they brew. And it was the first pint of beer I had. And I just remember taking that first sip and being like, oh man, this is so good. You know, what I love about Great South Bay, and I don't know if I've actually mentioned this on the podcast before, I think they find that perfect balance between brewing beers that anyone can enjoy and brewing beers that, you know, true beer geeks can enjoy. I think they've mastered, you know, the idea of what a sessionable beer should be. But they always kind of have their, like, little...
They toe the line.
Yeah, they have that their little angle, you know, and don't get me wrong, Marauder, I'm not considering a sessionable beer, but I'm just saying that they... Yeah, I'm a fan. that's essentially what I'm saying. And I respect the fact that they're able, again, to really target the sessionable beer drinker and the beer geek beer drinker at the same time, which I think is really important for, you know, for brewing companies. We live, you know, in an era where there's a lot of people who still want to drink easy to drink beers. I think they tap in that market. And then there's beer geeks like you and I who really want something that isn't quite, you know, what we're having on a day-to-day basis. And I think they... do that quite fine as well.
This beer comes in at 10% ABV, has a full malt flavor, a lot of caramel sweetness. I definitely get that, and absolutely bourbon notes because it's, you know, bourbon barrel age.
Yeah, and I find this extremely easy to drink, being 10%
ABV. I don't know if you agree, but it's, I mean, maybe that's due to it just tasting so good.
I've kind of been drinking this, like, kind of as the show has been going, to be honest with you. I'll give you guys a little insight. I've been drinking this as we've been recording, and yep. I'm feeling kind of buzzed, actually.
Really? Well, I did eat basically half a pizza pie before you showed up, so I'm okay at the moment.
I ate nothing. Do not drink Marauder on an empty stomach.
That's why Travis has the big belly. He eats all the pizza.
That's true. Such a fatty.
But for 10% ABV, I find it's very easy to drink. And that's actually something I like about it, too. The fact that it could be so, you know, so intriguing, so interesting, and so so delicious, but being easy to drink is something that I'm quite attracted to.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been, you know, it's been warming to its recommended drinking temperature as, you know, as the show has been, as we've been recording this episode. So
yeah, and I have to say, it actually, and truthfully, it's tasting even better to me now than it did when we took it out of the refrigerator.
I absolutely agree, because it's approaching the recommended drinking temperature, Trev. Yeah. Next up, we're going to have another beer. Violet! You're turning violet, Violet!
We're here now, and we are tasting Snozberry Stout.
Snozberry!
By Great Salad Bay Brewery. So take your sip, Mike. Once again, we're lying. We've been drinking this for a while.
We're illusionists.
If anybody ever does a behind the scenes of the Beer Amigos, they're going to realize there's a lot of fibbing that goes on.
It would be so funny, though, because we just die for, like, endless amounts of time.
Our reactions to the beer are sincere, but usually we say, now we just started drinking. Meanwhile, we were excited to drink this beer 2 hours ago, so we opened it 2 hours
ago. We cracked that small bitch open.
So Snozberry Stout, according to the bottle and according to the taste, is an American milk stout. It's 4.2% ABV. It has a low bitterness of 18 IBUs. Grains used are chocolate malt and roasted barley. And it is brewed with Fugles hops. So what do you think, Mike?
I definitely get like that roastiness on the nose. I know that you, although we're just trying this beer right now for the first time. Yeah,
wink, wink. I just opened it. Just cracked it open.
I know that you said you got a lot of the sweetness of the berries.
I get tons of sweetness. As I was just saying to Mike, I work next to the Whole Foods in Jericho, and I'm big on buying those naked drinks, you know, those 100% fruit juice drinks, and I've often bought the berry antioxidant drinks, and it has a similar taste to me. So yeah, I'm definitely picking up on all the berries used in this beer.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of a new combination, I guess, in regards to that sweetness associated with a stout.
Oh, definitely, and extremely light, extremely sessionable. It's essentially the complete opposite of the Marauder.
Yeah,
which is nice. Again, as I was saying earlier, I think Great South Bay has found that nice balance between making sessionable beers and making beers that the beer geek can enjoy.
Trav, I think we should revisit the Marauder and give it a formal reviewed rating.
I think it's time for
Beer review. We haven't done this in a while, so just to reiterate, on a scale of 1 to 5 Pistol Pete's, 1 being unfavorable, 5 being phenomenal, we give the Great South Bay Brewery Marauder Bourbon Barrel Aged Scotch Ale 4.5 Pistol Pete's.
This is Rick Sabatka from Great South Bay Brewery, and you are listening to the Beer Amigos.
Oh, Great South Bay, you really make my day. Your tasty, tasty beers, they give me such cheer. So now I sing to you a song about your brews. Oh, Great South Bay, you really make my day. I want your snaggle-tooth stout inside of my mouth. For a pint of your massive IPA, even $500 I would pay. Your Robert Moses Pale Ale, it alone would set my boat a sail. I want your blonde ambition while my wife is in the kitchen cooking, because we all know a woman's place is in the kitchen, right? I'm kidding. I'm kidding! Oh, Great South Bay, you really make my day. Your tasty, tasty beers, they give me such cheer. So now I sing to you a song about your brews. Oh, Great South Bay, you really make my day. Yeah. Oh, Great South Bay, you really make my day. Your tasty, tasty beers, they give me such cheer. So now I sing to you a song about your brews. Oh, Great South Bay, you really make my day.
Yay!
Oh, Great South Bay, you really make my day.
This is Phil Ebel from Great South Bay Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Amigos.
In addition to all the great events that were mentioned at the beginning of our show, here's some more upcoming featured events. Obviously, Friday, May 11th through Sunday, May 20th is Long Island Craft Beer Week. For more information on Long Island Craft Beer Week, visit longislandcraftbeerweek.com. On Saturday, May 12th, breakfast with the Beer Amigos.
That's us.
That's us.
Featuring breakfast burritos from Bubba's Burrito Bar, champagne crafted exclusively for this event by our friend Bobby Rodriguez of the Long Island Beer and Malt Enthusiast. This event starts at 10 a.m. Pajamas are not encouraged, but your attendance is. On Saturday, May 12th, Dave, our good friend Dave from Bellport Cold Beer and Soda, opens up The Vault. Dave's known for really holding on to some beers and making great events out of them, and I'm pretty sure he's going to unveil some of them that day. On Tuesday, May 15th, is the Golden Tap Awards Gala at the Bolton Center for the Performing Arts in Bayshore, New York. That starts at 6 p.m. For more information, visit golden-tap.com.
Hey, Mike, who's presenting at the Golden Tap Awards?
Oh, those rascally beer amigos.
So we'll see you guys there.
On Saturday, May 19th, at the Bellport Cold Beer and Soda in Bellport, New York, our friend Dave is running a Mix of Six sale. Build your own six packs starting at $6 up. This includes some hard-to-find beers. On Thursday, June 7th, is the 5th annual Bellport Charity Beer, Wine, and Food event. This is at the Bellport Country Club in Bellport, New York. The event is $45 and runs from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. For more information, visit bellportcharitybeertasting.com. Looking ahead a little further, on Saturday, August 11th, is the North Fork Craft Beer Barbecue and Wine Festival, located at the Martha Clara Vineyard in Riverhead, New York. For more information on this event, visit NorthforkCraftBeerFestival.com. And as always, visit LongIslandBeerEvents.com for any additional events.
So it seems like we're wrapping up episode 9.
Yeah, man, it was a fun one, for sure.
It's a good one. It's hard to imagine that come a month from now, we are going to be going into episode 10. Double digits, baby!
Double digits!
Woo! There's no looking back now, Mike, is there?
Not at all.
So for more information on the Beer Amigos, please visit TheBeerAmigos.com. You could find us on Facebook at The Beer Amigos. You could email us at TheBeerAmigos@gmail.com. You could find us on Twitter at The Beer Amigos. And we look forward to seeing you at all the events, and we definitely look forward to seeing you at the Long Island Craft Beer Week events.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait for it. Super pumped.
Totally stoked, bro. So until next time,
bring the noise and adios, amigos! Thanks for listening.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos.
Everybody.
We are the Beer Amigos. We like beer. We are amigos. And that's why we call ourselves the Beer Amigos. The Beer Amigos.